Greetings and welcome, everybody. Ray Adams here. Great American Golf is here. I'm your caddy for the show. And after 26 years, I can't begin to tell you that, well, I'm being told by those in the know that this might be the longest running in the same place, same time, same name of show, golf show in the United States of America. If that's true, great. If it's near, okay, fine. We don't base all of our kudos on any of that. We base it on you, the listener, our wonderful sponsors. And of course, you're the most highly prized, our listeners, on this Great American Golf radio podcast show. After all these years, we're same time. We are same place, only we're now streaming all over the country and we're on all the big audio platforms starting at Golf News Net, thegolfnewsnet.com. You want to go there, find Great American Golf, find the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, find Match Play with Ray Adams TV show. Everything is at the Golf News Net. And by the way, their growth is astonishing. Ryan Ballingee, one of the great, great young golf journalists, writers, podcasters, voices of golf. At the Golf News Net, founder, owner, purveyor, everything Golf News Net. You want to look at that because you're going to see the work of a handyman. You'll see the work of someone who, well, he really knows what he's doing, Ryan Ballingee. Thank you, Ryan, for everything you do at the Golf News Net, for all the golfers, men and women alike, that go there every single day. All right, Craig Renshaw is off today. He is busy working, working, working. And Dr. Bob Denny, our PG of America, historian emeritus, is joining me. We're going to get the show started right now. This is a very special edition of Great American Golf, Bob. And I'm going to let you tell us why.
Well, possibly because we are able to get a good advance of the Solheim Cup,
Yeah.
and it's going to be great because we have the current U.S. captain Angela Stanford, who's doing a tremendous job preparing the U.S. team for the Netherlands. September 11th is the opening of the Solheim Cup, and it's the first time a major has been in the Netherlands. And also, we have Alan Solheim join us as well, who will give us a great perspective on his family and how the legacy is held up so well and become the preeminent event in women's golf.
Alan will be joining us, my great friend, my big brother's, my big spiritual brother, for so many years now. Alan Solheim will be joining us soon. Bob, thank you for introducing that. And yes, we will have Angela Stanford joining us later in my great Women in Golf segment as our captain of the Solheim Cup this year. And we have so many other things to talk about. Let's jump right into it. Bob, what's happening around the world at the Wyndham? Webb Simpson said in a wonderful quote, "There's no way I would have won the US Open if I hadn't won at Sedgefield." With Bermuda Greens, Sedgefield is one of the great golf courses on the PGA Tour. I was with Webb Simpson in the clubhouse at the Olympic Club in 2000 and was it 12? 2012,
Yes, it was.
when he won the US Open. Well, I had to reach for that one. You know, the measure of time and the fog of memory. I waited. I interviewed Jim Furyk. I interviewed so many. And Webb Simpson, of course, won that golf tournament. I met Jesse Mueller there, director of golf at Grand Canyon University and a great friend of this show, PGA professional, tour professional, I should say. Just played in the Arizona Open. We'll get Jesse on soon. And I became great friends with Miguel Angel Jimenez. My first meeting with him, and it included sitting down on the players' clubhouse area patio. And Miguel enjoyed a wonderful cigar, and he and I became friends at that tournament, and our friendship has continued until this stage. So, fond memories of the Olympic Club, but I've never been to Sedgefield. Bob, have you?
I have not. I I've been to, I think, a couple other courses at the Greater Greensboro Open years ago. And in the year 2000, I was there. But I will say that when I look at Webb Simpson's quote, he's looking at how he learned to win under pressure. And that was a thing. That was the thing. He learned to adapt, and he not so much the course, really the setup and the type of grass, but he learned how to adapt to pressure. That he went into a little more in depth on that quote. So I understand that. And a lot of golfers look at it, one event that triggered their options to turn their fortunes around. And I think that's one of them.
You know, this golf course in this area of the country has great, great, great history. The Greenbrier Classic. The course was, the ambassador was Sam Snead. He became the head professional at Greenbrier. It then the title went on to Tom Watson, Lee Trevino. The Greenbrier was the site of the 79 Ryder Cup. I was a baby then, so I didn't go. No, folks, and don't make fun of me either. but it hosted the 1994 Solheim Cup as well. So the Greenbrier and this area of the country is big, big on golf, Bob.
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah. One quick story on Sam Snead. I in the years, I think it was 2000 and I think it was around 2012, we were had a regional championship in that area at the Greenbrier. And, one of the officers came in and he says, "Sam Snead's gonna be coming here. We got to get ready. We got to get ready." Sam was just scouting the area, and he should never have been driving a car at that time because his macular degeneration was so bad.
Oh,
But
yeah.
he wanted to see the folks how they're doing, and he if someone put a ball on a tee, he could still hit it 275 yards.
Unbelievable. What a great athlete. He was such an athlete, maybe the greatest athlete in PGA Tour history. There were others, but Sam Snead certainly was the first and foremost of multi-sport athleticism. And of course, that sweet swing. Bob, something else in American history had to do with the Greenbrier, didn't it? Wasn't there something under there?
At the Greenbrier.
Wasn't this a place, forgive me now because I'm grasping, but didn't we have a nuclear bunker somewhere?
That part I wasn't in tune with. It's very possible.
Well, we had a nuclear bunker under there, and it was where presidents and prominent people were supposed to go. And forgive me, folks, if I haven't got it exactly right, but again, the fog of memory leads me to
Oh,
remember that
you're
there
right
was
about that.
something going on, Bob. Tell us about that.
You caught me by surprise on that one.
Well, I didn't mean to, but go
That's all
ahead.
right. Well, there was a Cold War nuclear bunker codenamed Project Greek Island, and it was built between 58 and 62 beneath the hotel's West Virginia wing. Yes, and that was designed to house the entire U.S. Congress during a nuclear attack. Well, you got to get the entire nuclear co con excuse the entire U.S. Congress over to White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. You got to get them all there,
And
and it's not easy to get.
how do you do that?
That is not easy to get to that place, believe me.
No, it's not. And how do you do that? Okay, a little trivia,
Yeah, I'm glad you got that one.
little background. You know, again, I try to remember things from here and there. They pop up once in a while. All right, Dr. Bob, let's get to it. What about this leaderboard? How do you like it? Bo Hostler. Oh my goodness, on fire.
Yes, 12 under par at this point. He's doing, and he's got, but he's only got a one stroke lead over Ben James and Jordan Smith. And there's a 10 players tied for ninth, excuse me, nine under, which include Billy Horschel and those that are fighting to get into the bubble above the 70. This is the final regular season event, and
Yes.
the top 70 will get into the playoffs.
All right.
The poster child for getting into the playoffs is Jackson Koivun, and he's right currently out heading into to today and weekend at five under, and
Now,
so he's got a
Hostler has to win the tournament to be able to get into the playoffs. And if he does, Koivin gets bounced. Is that about right?
Yes.
Well, here we go. Let's look at this leaderboard for a minute. I'm going to throw out a few names, folks. Hang in there with me. Bo Hausler. You ever heard of him? Ben
Yes, I
James.
have.
Well, no, I'm not asking you. You've heard of everybody. Bo Hausler. Ben James. Who is he? Jordan Smith. Doug Gim. Max Grazerman. We've talked about him on this show. But again, one of our unknown golfers, Sahith Theegala. We've talked about him. Alex Noren. David Skins. Alex Smalley. Matty Schmid. Rico Hoey. Michael Brennan. You got to go all the way down to Billy Horschel to get what I call a big name. That doesn't really bode well for TV viewership and those that are watching television and following golf. Again, we've got a leaderboard that, not many people know who in the world they are.
Yeah. Keegan Bradley has to fight like crazy on the weekend.
Yeah.
He's three under, and so he's 9 strokes back to start
Brooksy
the
is there.
yeah,
Brooksy
yeah.
is there. He's T21. He shot 67, 66 in your T21. I mean,
Yep.
he has to be walking out to the, taking his spikes off to the, at the car and saying, what do I got to do to get up in the top 10 of the leaderboard over here at the PGA Tour? I don't know whether that's, live fallout or whether it's just Brooksy, but, he's one of my favorite players. He's one of my favorite people. I've interviewed him numerous times. He's nothing when you interview him one-on-one, when you talk to him, when you just stand and talk to him without a microphone in his face. He's nothing like the guy that you think that he is on TV. I've said that before. Then you go to Tyler Collette, Hayden Springer, Danny Walker, Chandler Phillips, Rafael Campos. You got to get to Hideki Matsuyama to get to another name. That just, I'm concerned. Is this tournament going to make it, Bob?
Oh, I think it will. I think well. I think it holds its own just because of tradition. I think it's definitely gonna.
Well, a lot of them
Yeah,
did, including
yeah.
the Honda Classic. That's gone.
Honda's name is gone. The tournament's still here.
Okay, but
Yeah,
still,
yeah, yes.
look at the Dinosaur. Gone. Tournament there. Name
The
is gone.
name is gone. Yes.
Right. All right.
That's one that still bothers me.
It bothers me quite a bit. It really does. It bothers me a lot. But I was told that the members at what Mission Hills Golf Club, they didn't want it anymore. That's what I was told. Now, we're not going to get into quoting sources and all that sort of stuff, but it was said that the members no longer wanted it there. Now, we're not talking about that at this point, but let's go on to some great women in golf and the Women's Open Championship. What about it?
Well, it really was turned into a good battle down the stretch. We thought Heyron Rhu was going to hold on to it and ended up with our champion was from Japan, and that was important to see that and in for their thing because it was important that the part of the country of the world to cover you from start to finish. That was regardless of what it is, I was so impressed that we have seen that the people come out of the woodwork to win the Opens, and that was that they just but they because of the championships are I'm trying to say it we just see the best sometimes the best navigators at the final stretch win a golf tournament.
I think that the greatest golfers in the world at that moment,
Yes.
and this one was at Royal Lithum in St. Annes.
Royal Lithum St. Annes, the sixth time the Women's Open has been there. Yes.
And Kawaki and Henselite from Germany, Kawaki from
Right.
Japan, had the playoff. I watched
Right.
every second of it, and then
Right.
I rewatched it again. Yolani Ngo was there. Nelly tied for fourth with Thitakul. This was a wonderful, wonderful golf tournament. But I want to go down the line. Kawaki, Henselite. Yes, we have Ngo and Korda from America. Then you have Thitakul, Su, Takeda, Wode, Yu, Tan, Paul, Patsu, Sasso, Kuskova, Bhutia, Kim, and then you got to go all the way down for Lee and Coughlin. Again, so many players because it's such a global tour, not American.
Right.
Does that take away from the Americans' zeal, their passion to watch these events on the ladies' tour? Does that help
It
them or
hurt.
hurt them?
It hurts. It hurts in viewership. It simply it will. Regardless. I know we have some our favorites on the men's tour who are from Europe because of just the type of players they are, the Tommy Fleetwoods of the world, Rorys and others. But that's not the case for women's golf and right now globally. They want to see. We got to see more recognizable names that bring in viewership. Let's face it. It's not because we're against the global golf world, not at all. It's just the fact that this is the effect that it has on our viewerships and sponsors.
Yeah.
Esther Henselyte is a wonderful player. She's did a great job. She lives in the Scottsdale area, I believe, and she's married her, and her husband was caddying for her. Yalini Ngo is not as recognizable, but she's an outstanding young player. Uses the broomstick putter. I just think with Nelly Korda not in the mix at the end, that it does hurt your viewership at this time. So unfortunately, that's the thing. And Kawaki from Japan, Shihu, did a wonderful job. And like we said, and she did not show openly any tenseness out there, and wonderful. And I think she was putting with a yellow ball out there. So anyway, it's just the attraction to the viewership, Ray. And we're in that type of world where, what have you done for me lately? And if it's not something we can recognize, they flip the channel.
You're listening to Dr. Bob Denny. He is the PGA of America's historian emeritus. I'm Ray Adams, your caddy for the show. This is Great American Golf. Thank you so much. Airing on the golfnewsnet.com and then off to all the big audio platforms. You can find us everywhere and anywhere. I want to thank Squares Golf Shoes, Squairz, at squares.com for helping to bring this show to you, along with CertaFreshCigar.com and of course touredge.com. But when I think about Squares Golf Shoes, and I was recently in Sedona and playing around a golf at Canyon Mesa Country Club, one of my favorite places to be, winding through the Red Rock country. And there's a great video that's coming out on my YouTube site and probably my Facebook site, folks, at Match Play TV. Go to Match Play TV. You'll find me on Facebook, Instagram, and my big, huge YouTube channel with so much information. And I'm so happy to represent Canyon Mesa Country Club, Willie Dark, my fellow Michigander there. And we were playing a round of golf, and I stopped to do a beautiful video with Willie that'll be up there here in the next day or two. But wearing my Squares golf shoes, and I was wearing my new spikeless shoes. Golf has been obsessed over what's in your hands, Bob and folks. It's your driver, your driver, your driver. But we haven't thought about one of the greatest pieces of equipment and what should be your next piece of equipment, Squares golf shoes. We should be focused on what's under your feet. How does the foot create force? What creates stability during the swing? How can a golfer stay better connected to the ground? All of these are the foundation of the shoe that you're wearing, and you want to make sure that you're wearing Squares golf shoes. And I'm so happy to talk about them and have them as a sponsor for all of these years, Bob. All right, let's get back to it. We've got Alan Solheim will be joining us here in just a few moments. I can't wait for Alan to do that. What's happening out on the, well, what are the gentlemen doing on the PGA Tour Champions?
That last event was we talked about the Portugal Invitational that was won by Zach Johnson, and Zach's had a really good start to this his rookie year.
And
He may he,
congratulations to Zach. He's
yeah yeah.
killing it out on the tour, isn't he?
He's going to be rookie of the year for the tour. We know that. And he beat Stewart Cink by three strokes in Portugal at the Ernie Els designed Els Club Vila Moura.
Yeah.
So that was Zach was 19 under on a 54-hole event.
Unbelievable. He played lights out golf. And he's not known to be a big hitter either, is he? So it shows you don't
No,
have to be.
he's a master with the wedge, a master.
Yes, he is. And he's a big major champion on the PGA Tour. He's one of my favorite players. He's out of Iowa. He's a man of faith. And Zach Johnson, one of my all-time favorites. Where do they head from here? Because they're going into playoffs. The ladies are moving forward. And we've got the Tour Championship coming up. On the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, day after tomorrow, Bob, we're going to be talking all about the FedEx Cup playoffs. And we're going to go into detail about how all the money and the positioning and all of that works. It's very confusing. And there's a great article out there. We'll quote that article, but go
This
ahead.
week they're in Washington, and that's the Boeing Classic. It's Snoqualmie, Washington, which is a state that's been ravaged by fire, and we feel so sorry for those that have suffered in the state of Washington.
Yes, and there's more there, and there's even more in Sedona. We were there for our anniversary this past week. That's why we did not have a show this past Monday, the Golf Lifestyle Show. My wife and I celebrated our anniversary and went to Red Rock Country in Sedona, Arizona. And the fires had subsided, and now today new fires are happening up there. And there's fires happening all over. We're finding that people are setting fires, Bob.
This one particularly was set by
Unbelievable.
a 37-year-old man, and it's the sparks and the wind could start at any time another round of blazes. So it's just very sad. And I know a lot of I have quite a few friends in the state of Washington. I'm worried about. Hopefully, they'll not in any way touched by this.
Well, they are headed up to Snoqualmie Ridge there in Washington, and we're certainly going to be watching that golf tournament. And of course, we know where the PGA Tour is headed, Bob. Where are we going for the playoffs? Tell me about it. PGA Tour, we've got the playoffs happening.
Yes. The FedEx playoffs at the FedEx St. Jude, which is next week, August 13, in Memphis, Tennessee. And
That's my
that's,
dad's
yeah.
birthplace. He was born in Memphis. My father, Ray
Yes.
Adams, born in
Right.
Memphis. Then we're going to the BMW,
BMW
Bob.
cha championship in St. Louis at Belle Reve, a course I know pretty well
That's
after
Craig
covering.
Renshaw's hometown, too.
Yeah, I last was there in 2018 when Brooks Koepka beat Tiger Woods at the PGA Championship.
And
And
East.
the tour championship winds everything up on August 27th at East Lake in Atlanta, near outside Atlanta.
Now, after they do all of that, and we get through all of the playoffs and East Lake and all that, we then go into a fall. There's a load of championship golf to talk about, folks, all the way through December at the Hero in the Bahamas. But we're going to go after all the playoffs, after the FedEx Cup champion is crowned, we're headed over to Asheville, North Carolina for the Biltmore, Medina for the President's Cup, the Bank of Utah, Black Desert, Yokohama in Japan, Port Royal in Bermuda, Vedante Vallarta. I know all about Vedante Golf in Mexico. What do you want to know about the company Vedanta? Nueva Vallarta in Mexico, the Vedante World Mexico Open, El Cardenal El Diamante in Cabo San Lucas. My goodness, it goes on and on. It doesn't end. Wonderful golf to talk about all through the fall.
Something called the President's Cup is on the 24th, I
What's
believe.
that? What is it? What is what? I don't know.
That's some kind of
Only
event.
know I know about is Freddie. You say President's Cup, I say Freddie Couples.
All I remember is it's going to be at Medina on the 24th of September.
That would be Chicago. We had a Ryder Cup there too, didn't we?
We certainly did. It will go down in history as one of the craziest ones. And Mr. Zach Johnson was not a happy camper up on the stage having to deal with that.
No, he was not. Now, when you look at Medina and you look at the President's Cup, and we've spoken about it, we're going to talk a lot more about it. Tell us our captains and who do we think is going to win that one coming up next month?
Brandt Snedeker for the United States.
That's needy. We're gonna talk about him on Monday because we're gonna go over all the FedEx Cup champions, and he's one of them. A lot of names of golfers that won the FedEx Cup, and you wouldn't remember or believe that they did. Brandt Snedeker did.
I like Brandt, and I just was hoping
Great
that
player.
he, yeah, I just wish he would have had a little more chance to get. He was close to winning some majors, you know. Jeff Ogilvie, who won the U.S. Open, as we remember, he is going to be the President's Cup captain for the international team.
I want to thank Springfield Golf Resort, one of my favorite little short courses, but what a challenge to your iron game. Just like Canyon Mesa Country Club up in Sedona, and make sure you go to my YouTube channel and my Facebook and Instagram at Match Play TV and see that new video coming out. That's going to be popping out pretty quickly with Willie Dark and I at Canyon Mesa Country Club. Another short course. Gorgeous positioning and location in Sedona Red Rock Country, but a big time challenge to your iron play. Don't think it's any pushover because it isn't. Springfield Golf Resort is the same thing. But you know what's better than Arizona golf in the summer? Shade. We love shade. Our shade structure project is officially complete and ready for use here at Springfield Golf Resort. We're excited to provide this for our guests, members, residents, everybody. You got covered, literally. We look forward to seeing you out here soon at SpringfieldGolfResort.com. And I got to tell you, folks, this is something else. When you look at this shade structure that they've built out there, Bob, this provides a 50-degree drop in the surface temperature on the artificial grass underneath it compared to without. So if you're out there hitting balls into the practice range area, if you're under the shade structure that they've just built and completed, 50 degrees are off your temperature. Unbelievable and amazing. Can't wait to get out there, take a video of that, hang out with we're going to hang out with Rich Strzevsky and all the others in such a great spot for the first tee of Arizona. And of course, I have to thank my big championship golf course, the Legacy Golf Resort. They're on TV, they're on my radio shows. They've been with me forever. Legacy Golf Resort, you want to go to golegacyresort.com. Golegacyresort.com. Championship golf, fabulous venues for meeting. The food is great. The Legacy Performance Center, one of the great performance centers in the country. Jeremy Anderson, the wonderful young director and teacher of the Legacy Performance Center. If you go to the Legacy Golf Performance Center, I'm telling you, your game going to get better. I don't care who or what you are, from a beginner to the PGA and LPGA and Korn Ferry and Epson Tour players, the pros go out there to hone up their game at the Legacy Golf Resort. So golflegacyresort.com, folks. All right, Bob, we're back. There's a little golf league going on around there with a guy named Joaquin Niemann. What's he up to at this thing called LIV? It's alive. It's alive. It's a live. What's going on with live, Bob?
Well, I think the base thing is they're on life support, and Wednesday the CEO Terry O'Neill had a press conference that was very light on information. Said that they had an investor, they were keeping it out of the media. Well, as it turned out, business experts who are looking at it believe that it was a loan, and that what does that mean for the future of LIV Golf? What does it mean for the players, their investments, and it is really a strangest thing involved. Some of the biggest names, John Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau, are always bandied about and how they're going to be able to navigate their own careers after this thing. But as we're watching now, LIV is just hanging on. And this is a $30 million purse this week. Yeah, it's hard and amazing, isn't it? We hear that words, $30 million purse. And Joaquin Neiman owns a five-stroke lead over Lee Westwood. Remember that name? Lee
Who?
Westwood.
Huh?
And at third place,
That one.
six strokes behind, a guy by name of Sergio Garcia.
Ah, El
Wow.
Nino.
Yes. So they're in New York. They're in New York.
Now we let's go back to the LPGA Tour for a moment. Have a look at this tournament coming up.
The
What's the name
Portland
of the tour?
Classic. The Portland Classic.
And don't we have the Ladies European Tour going on as well?
There's a PIF,
What is
a bad
PIF?
PIF,
What is PIF?
public investment fund from Saudi Arabia.
Oh, okay. So the Ladies European Tour is being.
Align themselves on a series with PIF, and they support at least six events during the year. This one's in London. Charlie Hull this today had a career best round of 62, and it's pretty great coming from her after she had a disappointing showing at the Women's Open.
Right. Now,
But she's a stroke behind.
doesn't the LPGA Tour also align themselves with PIF money too?
The Aramco series, and that they have one of event I think during the year with them, but this LET, the Ladies European Tour, has the most
Why isn't
sustainable.
everybody up in the air about that, like they were with LIV, taking the PIF money? Why is it okay on the other end, and it's sort of, no, not sort of, not okay on the live end, according to Brandel Chamblee anyway, and others? Is that fine? Do they, it's just a sponsor like any other? You tell me.
Well, that's a good question, but I think on this program you've also said, why aren't they having live from women's events?
Well,
Well,
those are the big majors from the LPGA
yeah.
Tour, and
Well,
I'm big on that, and they're not doing
yeah.
it, and shame on you. But let's go back, and I want to put an end to this.
The Aramco Championship in March was at the Shadow Creek Golf Club in Las Vegas, which we know pretty well as one of the highest
Yeah,
end golf courses in the world.
you can, no one can get on it. I don't even think the course exists.
America's Lauren Coughlin won the event, and
Right.
but the broader series, which I mentioned, is actually five events that the LETs align themselves with, and that was includes the Saudi Ladies Invitational and the London Championships, which are happening this week, the Aramco Korea, and the Aramco China. So it's spread along, and they have $15 million prize fund expanding among those five events.
Well, it's amazing. Now we're looking at the Champions Tour. We're looking at their playoffs coming up. We're looking at the ladies. We're at that part of the season where we have the tour championships going on for the PGA Tour, those playoffs, and that FedEx Cup championship. By the way, again, folks, on Monday, we're going to go over all the huge intricacies, the confusion, the chaos, the complications of how this FedEx Cup thing works, and the money and the payouts and all that. Bob, are you ready for that? Because I went through all of that myself twice, and I'm still not exactly sure that I could explain it without the article right in front of me. What about you?
It's less confusing than it has in the past. I'll just say, I think
So
it's,
you feel better about it. Good. Well, you're in charge then. You'll be you're
Thank
you
you.
good. You're in
Thank you.
charge of all that. You and Craig. I
But
want to
this week, we'll just look at it
say
for those fighting for the top 70. I'll just keep it at that for the
it
moment.
is the top 70. That's what we worry about. And again, we're going back. This golf tournament this weekend at the Wyndham is a situation. What are the two or three or four players that are on that bubble, Bob?
Well, right now it was Jason Day, Keegan Bradley, Brooks Koepka, Jackson Koivun, and Jordan Spieth. And Jordan seems to be in decent shape after making the
Who?
cut this Jordan Spieth.
Who?
Yeah.
Here's a player that I absolutely enjoy watching play golf. I've interviewed him. He's been on this show. I've seen him at the US Open. Jordan, what a great guy. And his family, his father, great family. But here's a person that went out as a young man, won everything in sight, including multiple majors. And I don't know that he knew what he was doing. I mean, he knew what he was doing in that he was a great golfer. But the mental pressure was not on him at that moment. Then later to duplicate that and win another and to continue in that great, great golf position failed him. What about
Wow.
it?
He suffered a wrist injury, which hurt his for a while, and that
Well,
affects a
that, but I
golfer
also
quickly.
think he suffered a mental.
Yeah. He wasn't making the ball striking like he had been,
No.
which set up all of his opportunities. And he used to be the greatest lag putter in golf, period. Period. The latest greatest lag putter, but he's not there anymore. And I watched him, and I agonize some of the putts I've watched him miss. It's just right there, and I don't know what it is. It's just, but everybody, all the top golfers have gone through this period. But you wonder about this young man because he's got so many opportunities, and
Such
he's still
talent.
he's a young guy.
Yeah.
And
What is Jordan? He's what, 30-ish? 30? He's got to be right there. Well, he'll be back. I think he wins another few events. I don't know if he ever wins another major, though. That one I would seriously question.
He's 33 right now.
All right. That's what we thought. All right, very good. I have one of my great friends, a spiritual big brother. You talk about golf and one of the greatest, if not the greatest, golf company globally in the world. Alan Solheim has been on my television show more than once. He's been on my radio show, this show, multiple, numerous times. But what people think is, well, you guys know each other through golf. Well, not really. We met through our common faith. And we have talked about that. I consider him a big brother in the faith. And his company, Ping, and all of the family and the great people that work at Ping Golf are what I consider maybe, if not the greatest, certainly one of the greatest companies for golf in the world. And then everything that they do, all the things that they do for folks and the sponsorships. Every time I open up my phone or my laptop, there is a charitable tournament. There is a Arizona Open. There is a this event. There's that event. There's a disabled event. There's everything going on with golf, and it doesn't matter if it's a junior golf event. If it doesn't matter if it's this event or that, everything is brought to you by Ping. And I got to tell you, not only am I impressed, I'm humbled for Ping to be one of my sponsors on and off through the years. They have been a part of what I'm doing, and they have helped me to pay some bills. And they're just great people. I've been on the tour, and I've been in the Gold Vault, folks. And I'm going to tell you, if you're ever in Phoenix, Arizona, from out of the state, or if you're here, and if you've never been on the Ping Factory Tour and seen the Gold Vault, I don't even know how to describe it, how cool it is. You're standing in the middle of golf history when you're there. And my dermatologist today, that yes, he had to do a little cut on me, is an avid golfer, and he's begging me to help him set up a tour at the Ping Factory so he can go there. And I'm going to beg my great
We
friend,
can set that up, sure.
and my great friend Alan Solheim is right here joining us, and Dr. Bob Denny, the PGA of America's historian emeritus, is joining us. Alan, Alan, thank you so much for joining. I know you had a busy day with
There's
your board meetings, but thank
right.
you so much for joining us on Great American Golf.
Yeah, it's great to be here. There's over 3,000 putters in that vault. Angela Han Stanford has
She does.
seven wins with putters that we made the copy in plated gold, and we also made one for her.
Well, we want to talk about the Solheim Cup, and Angela Stanford is going to be coming on the show here in a few minutes after you. So I want you to tee this all up. I know Dr. Bob Denny is going to have a couple questions for us, but Alan, let me get with you right now on this Solheim Cup. I know that the Solheim family, years ago, when this was all getting started, decided that you were going to put your name on the cup, but you were only going to do it for 1 or 2 years. And your wonderful mother stepped in and said, "We're going to do something different." Can you give us a concise,
Sure.
shortened version of that story?
Sure. Basically, when we were asked to sponsor, it was for 2 years. And my brother John said, if we're there for 2 years, someone will take it away from us. We need it to do for a longer time. And my mother said, well, let's make it 10 years. And that would be 20 years because it's every other year. And that's what we did in our sponsorship at first, and then renewed after that each time.
Alan, how important, we talk about great women in golf. Your mother probably is one of the greatest women in golf history. Your father came in from what, the garage? And he
Oh.
said something about the name of the putter and it wouldn't fit on the putter.
Oh,
And she
right.
said, "Well, drop the W." Tell us
Yeah.
that story in 3 minutes.
Yeah. Basically, my father was always looking for a good name for a putter. And my mother said, well, you're always looking for the answer. Why don't you call it the answer? And the next day, he said it wouldn't fit. It was too long of a word because he already had the pattern made for the answer. And my mother said, take out the W, and that's the way it was done.
Bob, I remember as a kid chasing around Carsten Solheim with my dad. And I can name some of the PGA Tour players from Howard Twitty and on. I can talk about those days out at the Phoenix Open where Carsten, Alan's father, and Carsten will never be gone as long as Alan lives. He's his twin. You're his twin, Alan, especially with the goatee and what have you. But Bob, give Alan a question or two about those days or whatever you want.
Okay. Alan, it's a pleasure to be in the same program with you. I just and it, it feels so great that women's golf has got to the 20th edition of the Solheim Cup this year. And it's the first time in the Netherlands. What I've seen, though, Alan, is the most spirited competition on both sides from the Europe and the United States. It's become fierce in that because it's reached a Ryder Cup style potential. I'm going to ask you, your family, what are they new now? And when you sit around and watch this event, how do you feel and how do you react when you see this happening right in front of your eyes?
I basically think it's my mother and father's dream fulfilled because they really felt that the girls needed a show place for their talent, just like the men. And this year, being in the Netherlands, will be the first time ever that the Junior Solheim, Ping Junior Solheim Cup will be played on the same course. Normally, it's played on a different course so that the Solheim Cup girls can practice on those first days. But this time they'll be playing the same course. And it's really interesting because so many of the junior Solheim girls go on to be on the Solheim Cup.
Alan, tell us about Angela Stanford. Angela is going to be following you on the show today. She
Yeah.
is such a wonderful, wonderful captain. Multiple times on the Solheim Cup as a player, now captain. You've been with her, you've played with her. Set up Angela Stanford for us as a
Oh.
person and as a captain.
Yeah, it's really interesting because she's a very athletic person, not just in golf. For instance, she ran the LA Marathon, I believe it was in year 2000.
And you did
That's
too.
I as far as I've run I ran 12 consecutive Boston Marathons, and
Wow.
the and when I was, I don't know, 41 or 42, I ran a tooth.
Well,
Now I can't even 2:46:32 marathon.
Wow. That's moving. That's moving.
Yeah, but Angela is just a very a talented person, and we're just so fortunate to have her as a ping player, and she's a strong Christian. Yeah.
From Texas. She's right there. I used to have a home not far from her. My kids are there. And we're going to have Angela on here in just a moment. When you look at the Solheim Cup this year, next month, Alan, is America in a position to win? Or do you think that the Europeans are going to set it up in their favor to the point where we're going to struggle?
Certainly they try to do that each time, but it's just amazing how competitive it's gotten and how close the talent is on both sides. I was at the course last year, and it's really a great course. It's flatter than we've had on courses,
Okay.
but it's a very special place. And the interesting thing is that the people bike over there. When I was there, I biked from the hotel to the golf course every day, and I'm
And what is the
86 years
name?
old.
What is it? You're not 86, you're 46. You look like you're 46. I don't
Oh,
want to hear that. I don't even want to hear
yeah.
that. I know you had your big, massive annual meeting today. I don't want to poke into or pry into any particulars, but can you come away from that meeting today and give us a Ping Global perspective? Is there any breaking news? Is there anything you can offer us and all the listeners out there today? About what's happening on the ping side.
Sure. We had over 400 people at our convention this last week. We brought them from all over the world. We do that every 4 years. It's just unbelievable, the number of tournaments in different countries, and how good of staff that we have in Australia and Japan and England, and it's just was a very exciting time. For our salesmen here in the US, we have a sales meeting every year, but internationally, it's every 4 years.
All right, there he is, Alan Solheim, one of the family members and owners and purveyors of one of the great golf companies in the history of the game. You want to go to my YouTube site, Match Play TV, and find Alan's television episode with me, where he spells it out in such a poetic way. Do you remember doing that, Alan?
Sure.
Where you talk about ping in a poetic way. Give us the first 1 minute of that. Give us the first one.
Oh,
Give us a taste of it.
I'm not sure just exactly what you're re referring
Well, you
to,
talked
but
about peeing as a company and you
thanks.
went through, I think, the alphabet, or it was very poetic how you explained peeing and golf. And
I think I explained how my father started and with this
yes.
idea with putting weight way out, using two sugar cubes saying these are
Yes,
weight, and
yes.
two popsicle sticks
Yes.
for the face of the club for a right-handed or a
That's it.
left-hander,
That's it right
and
there.
then connected the shaft to the bottom because he wanted the face, the front to go up and the back to go down. And when you connect to the top, it goes the opposite way. But connecting to the bottom, that first putter had a torsion bar so that when it was hit, it would roll the ball because the face was moving up.
Well, between your father's engineering genius, his passion for the game, your mother's tender, loving, but I think very, very assertive leadership in the entire Ping Company and its history, well, there's just nothing like it on the earth. And thank you so much, Alan, for being with me today. I'm going to give you the final word. Do we win the Solheim Cup this year?
I have to remain neutral, and I feel I can do that being my father was born in Norway.
Yeah.
But I just hope the most talented team wins.
Well, they will. And final word on Angelo Stanford, our captain in the USA. Final word.
And the final word is she is just a great person all around and just really special.
All right. You've been listening to Alan Solheim, one of the members of the Solheim family, my great friend, spiritual big brother. We met quite apart from golf. Yeah, we talk a little golf here and there, but we also talk a lot about our faith. And Alan, thank you so much for joining me today and for being a part of my life and an important part. And how Ping is such a great and important part of golf globally. There's what can I say? There's so much more. We could go on for hours and hours, but for now, thank you so much for joining us today. And when we come back, folks, in just a moment, we have one of the great women in golf joining us, Angela Stanford.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic tee holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
Greetings, Greetings and welcome back, everybody, to Great American Golf. Ray Adams here with you, and we have a very special guest coming up, Dr. Bob Denny. Dr. Bob, calling you, we need you to introduce this very special guest. I want to thank everybody for listening to those wonderful messages from our sponsors because, well, it's all for you that we provide not only great golf entertainment, education, enlightenment, but it's all because we have sponsors that help us do that. And everybody has sponsors everywhere. And on every tour, you know that. All right, Dr. Bob, welcome back, and thank you so much for, well, you put all this together with a very special guest, and this is part of my Great Women in Golf segment that I've been doing now for so many years, long before women exploded on the golf scene, and long before the LPGA Tour became the best news in golf globally. We started talking about great women in golf from business, industry, the tours, players, what have you, on both radio and television. And we have one today. Boy, do we have one today. Dr. Bob, take off.
Well, it's my pleasure, Ray, to introduce a guest that I was happy to meet a year ago when she was playing in the Legends at the Woodford Legends Invitational in Versailles, Kentucky. She's a native of Saginaw, Texas. She's a seven-time winner on the LPGA Tour, winner of the Evian Championship in 2018. She brings good karma to any international competition she competes in, all the way back to Curtis Cup in 2000 when she won on that team. And she was a six-time participant and player on the Solheim Cup team, all winners from 2003 to 2015, assistant captain three times. She makes TCU very proud from the her alumni there, All-American every year. And she's a lady that brings inspiration, grit. And I go back to 2015 when she won a penultimate match over Suzanne Pedersen, which set up Paula Kramer's final match in singles in Germany to give the greatest comeback for the U.S. team. It's my pleasure to introduce Angela Stanford.
Wow, what a great introduction. Thank you, Bob. Angela, welcome to Great American Golf. You know, I've had so many wonderful tour players from every tour over 26 years of doing this show. And I remember interviewing you a number of years ago. And I remember that when Bob says grit, you got it. Whatever it is, you got it. And you certainly had it during your tour playing days. And I want to get right into it. From Saginaw, Texas, if I'm not mistaken, since I lived in the Fort Worth area, owned a home in Arlington down by Joe Pool Lake, I was a Tarrant County guy for a while. Isn't Saginaw a sleeper subdivision of the Fort Worth area, if I'm not mistaken?
You are correct. And first off, thank you so much for having me. Saginaw, Texas is just north of Fort Worth. Most people don't know they're in it when they're in it because they think they're still in Fort Worth. But yeah, a small little town it's actually growing. So yeah, mm-hmm. My mom was the city manager there for about 17 years. So,
oh, wow. I worked in downtown Fort Worth and lived over there in Arlington and used to go up and play Nicklaus's course. What is the connecting road, the 260 or is it the 360?
The 360.
That mm-hmm. one. And yep. Bell Helicopters was on the right and our office was right there. I worked for a company that since you're from there your whole life and live there, you would know the company that I was a young executive with for a number of years when we lived there and then moved to none other than Waco, Texas. My daughter and her family live in Frisco and my son mm-hmm. and other daughter and their families are down in the Waco area. And I was down there for a number of years with a company you would probably know about being a Texan. And we have a couple of other things in common that are going to come up. Angela, you had a stellar LPGA Tour career. I love your career. Do you look back on your career and you're still very young, but do you look back on your career and say, yes, I'm retired. I played in all those Solheim Cups. I had great success. I made a couple of bucks along the way. And I pretty much got to do the tour the way I wanted to. Is that a fair statement? Your career was the way you wanted it to be.
Yeah, you know, I was blessed on a couple different levels in that I didn't have any major injuries until, you know, the end of 2018. I had kind of my first big injury, but I never really had an injury to speak of. So yeah, I got to play as much as I wanted, where I wanted. And the second blessing to that was I was kind of a late bloomer. I wasn't highly recruited out of high school. I kind of grew
I don't know
into
why not, but go ahead.
Well, honestly, I wasn't the most talented, but I think that's why I always worked so hard because I had a little bit of talent, but I had to put some hard work with it, and I think that helped me have a long career because I knew that I always had to work. There had to be a level of work, and the thing is, I loved it. Like I loved working at it. So very blessed to have a long career, and I think every golfer would tell you that they feel like they could have won a little more. I feel like I probably should have had some more victories in there, but for the most part, I mean, small town kid from Texas going out and winning a major and 7 times on tour, I'll take it.
Well, you won 11 times professionally, 7 on the tour, along with a major at Avion, which we just had. We'll ask you about that. But you're a Horned Frog.
I am
A
proud horned frog.
Texas Christian University. And when I was working in Fort Worth and I had been sent to Pittsburgh, oh, which is a great town, by the way, but it's so cold. And I grew up being from Michigan. Parents brought us here very young. I grew up here in the Phoenix area. Well, I wasn't ready for that Pittsburgh icy cold, snowy, windy, windy weather. So after about a year or so at that company, I got recruited and moved to the Fort Worth area with a wonderful company there. And the guy that recruited me and hired me was a guy by the name of Lindy Berry. And he was a standout football player at Texas Christian University. If you go back and
Okay.
do your homework, you'll find out about Lindy Berry. Of course, obviously gone now, sadly, but what a wonderful man. I loved my kids and my wife, and Texas Christian University has a great place in my heart, even though I did not go there. I went to Grand Canyon University in Phoenix. But so we have a little bit of that in common. My goodness gracious, were you quite the player though in college, Bob? Let's get back to you. Tell us a little bit about Angela Stanford and the WAC conference. My goodness, she won everything in sight.
Yeah, player of the year, freshman of the year, All-American every time she competed in on that team and at TCU. And like I said, when she was in the Curtis Cup in 2000, she began her international match play successes. She never lost in any international competition as a player, including the Alexis Cup. And I just go back to the fact now that she's the 14th woman to be named a captain of a Solheim Cup team, all the way back to when Kathy Whitworth was in 1990. So she's in a great line of great people who have served as captain, and she's had a lot of experience as assistant captain and 3 times worked in 2021, 23, and 24. So she's back in it, and I think this is probably my favorite choice and recent memory of a person who can handle this kind of job on the road. Is winning on the road is tough, and as we all know. But Europe's won 5-3-1 on home soil since this series started.
Yeah. All right, Bob, where is the Solheim Cup this year? And when is the Solheim Cup?
September 11th to 13th in the Netherlands at the Bernardus Golf Club. And Angela obviously knows more about that site than I do, but Angela, you can take it from there and see what the preparations you've had to do just to get to this point.
Yeah,
Angela,
this will be.
go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was gonna say this is the first time that we've ever had a major women's event in the Netherlands. So it's gonna be interesting to see how this unfolds. And I know they'll have great crowds because I mean, you think about Europe and how close all those countries are to the Netherlands over there. So I think it will be a very loud home crowd. But yeah, I've been over a couple times. I've seen the golf course, and I think it's set up well for us. I think there are going to be a lot of birdies, and that's one thing we do well on the US side is we make a lot of birdies. So looking forward to it.
Angela, you mentioned that playing in a Solheim Cup, which you did so many times with your teammates, is very, very different than being an assistant or now your captain of this coming Solheim Cup next month. Tell us the differences. What kind of challenges, pressures, what have you, the job itself, Well, tell us about the differences.
Yeah, I think as a player, you're really focused on your game and taking care of your business. You don't really have a choice that week as to what you eat most of the time or where you go or your timeline. So being a player the week of Solheim Cup is, first off, it's the greatest week every 2 years, but it's a very different week than these players are used to. Used to, they decide their entire schedule. Solheim week, you don't, because now there are 12 of you and you kind of move as a team. And as an assistant, I always tell people right away, you go from worried about one yourself to 12. All of a sudden, you got to worry about all 12 of them. And now, as a captain, I have to worry about those three assistants that I chose and the 12 and making all those decisions. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What will our timeline look like? How do we want to play this golf course? Who do we want to pair together? I mean, where do we place each of their lockers in the locker room? I mean, where do we put them in the hotel? Which rooms, who's by who? So it's literally, as a captain, it's everything. You are making just about every single decision you can think of.
As a player, you pretty much do what you're told, I just heard you say. Whereas now, as captain, you're doing the telling.
Yeah, and I think the one thing the player really, really helps captains with is when they play the golf course, giving them their honest feedback. I think sometimes players, they want you to believe, yeah, I like every golf shot, I like every hole, I like the golf course. Well, that's not true. You're not gonna love every golf course you play. So I think the player really helps the captains if they can just say, look, I kind of struggle off of these tee boxes. Okay, well, then maybe you're better off on an even or an odd, however that works out. But yeah, it is very much, hey, look, week of, guys, I need you to go out there. I need you to play the golf course. I need you to get prepared. I need you to be on the bus at this time. So you're right. It's a lot of they have to go where we tell them to go, and they're certainly not used to that every other week of the year.
Do you love this golf course that you're going to be playing? Has it been set up to favor the Europeans? Tell us a little bit about that.
I think historically the Europeans like firm and fast, and there's not much rough. There's actually no rough. If you hit it offline, you're either in a bunker. Think Scottish links style. I mean, if you're off the fairway, you're either in a gorse bush or a bunker. There's no, what we normally know of as rough. That won't be off the fairway. So, not much rough. It'll be firm and fast. And that's what they like.
Do
Historically,
we
again,
like that, Angela?
well, we have not always played real well.
No, we don't.
And so that's a challenge that I'm aware of, and I've been thinking about it for a solid year now. So I think we have some players on this team coming up that you have to combat that with high ball flight. We're gonna be looking for the high ball flight players, and so I think we have a solid plan in place and the direction we think we're going to go. But yeah, I think the Europeans are going to set it up to play firm and fast. And Anna wants a lot of birdies. She has said to me, and she said to the superintendent, I want to see a lot of birdies. So that's good news for us, because like I said, we make birdies.
Angela, the European team has been named. I know that the U.S. team will not be picked and announced until the 23rd of August after the Canadian event. But Europe has got now eight veterans on it and four rookies. I just wondered how you evaluate what you do know of what has been announced already from Europe.
Yeah, I think they're solid, and the thing about their rookies and thing about rookies in general is that they're pretty dangerous because they don't really know any different. They don't know what it's like to succeed, and they also don't know what it's like to fail. So she had great picks. She made sure that she covered all of her bases, and that she's got some high ball hitters, she's got some long ball hitters. She has people, from each country, that those players that had already automatically qualified, she filled that in with, okay, like Celine has another player from France on the team with her, with one of her picks. So, I think Anna did a great job, and I think they are going to be dangerous. They don't, they have tied and they have lost the last two. They haven't won outright since 21. So you got to think some of those players, They want to win, and we're coming over there with the cup. But you have to remember, we haven't won over there since 2015. So it is going to be a really fun Solheim to watch because both of these teams are going to be hungry for something.
You know, I've been to and covered Ryder Cups over the years, Bob, many more. I was in Rome a few years ago. I was in Bethpage Black last fall. I was at Valhalla when Zinger put the pods together and figured out how to finally win something. But we really have Europe in our heads on a Ryder Cup side. I've spoken to Sir Nick Faldo and Tom Lehman and many others over the years about the Ryder Cup. Tell us about the Solheim Cup because it is the ladies' Ryder Cup. It is the women's side of that globally popular tournament, maybe the greatest watched all year long of any event every 2 years. How much do you depend on Ping and the Solheim name? What do you draw from that?
Well, I mean, look, I've been a ping player my whole career on top of this. So,
Yeah, you have
ping.
some gold putters in a vault somewhere, don't you?
I
I've
do.
seen them.
I would say the Solheim family means a great deal to me. You know, they if look, if we don't have a Solheim Cup, then it's because of them we have the Solheim Cup. Specifically Louise. You know, she this was her vision, and I'm so grateful for the family and the fact that they've continued to allow this event to continue and to use their name. And you know, when you talk to players, they'll tell you this one event means the most to them. We don't get to play team golf, and up until 2016, golf wasn't in the Olympics. So there was a period of time where these golfers never got to represent their country in a team form. So the Solheim Cup, you know, for us is everything, and very grateful to the Solheim family and everything they've done to continue to promote this event. And for me, I just what they've done for women's golf, there's no company in the world that's done more for women's golf. I mean, there's just you can't argue that. That's it's just a fact. So, very proud to be a part of the Ping family.
Angela, are you looking at the candidates that you have not announced? Are you feeling that there's some really good underlying things that we're not seeing as a layman watching these people?
Yeah, I'm pretty fired up about my picks. I know that we have some things going on behind the scenes, and the few that I'm looking at, I've, you know, tried to encourage them to keep doing what they're doing. And, you know, I think sometimes when captains make picks, until you ask them to explain that, a lot of people don't understand it. But there, I will tell you now, sitting in this chair, there is a reason why we are going to pick who we pick, and we feel very strongly in it. I feel very strongly, but you know, and I think that's knowing your players and knowing what they're capable of and their strengths, and we know that more than anybody else sitting on the other side of the table. So I feel very confident in where we're going, but you know, we have 2 more weeks, so we need to see what happens these last 2 weeks.
Angela Stanford is with us talking about the Solheim Cup and her career. Angela, I've got to ask you. I mean, I would be remiss if I didn't because I've got listeners that are writing to me. They want to know, is there any breaking news you can give us at all? Anything? Shh, anything?
I don't, I mean, there's nothing, you know, really I don't right now. Like this is,
Yeah.
I can't really tell you who a pick, even one pick would be because
How deep
they're, I can.
of a dive do you go into the data and the technical analytics nowadays, like they do at the Ryder Cup? How deep of a dive do you go?
I would say I'm 50-50. You know, I mean, I'm old school enough to know that I played just about all of my career without analytics. I kept my stats, but you know, other than that, but I allow the numbers to guide us. You know, we have a stats guy in Justin Ray. He helps us with the pairings, you know, so there is some guidance there, but week of, it's all eyeballs. You know, what do we see from them? What's their body language like? What do they look like together in the practice round? So, yes, I'm very much into analytics to a point. So that's why I like to say I'm 50-50.
Bob? Well, I go back to 2015 again and that rally. And I think it had to be something that I remember what Julie Inkster said. She wants fire in the belly. And on the final day, and they were down 10 to 6. I remember that 10 to 6 deficit when it was in a Ryder Cup and the U.S. came back in 1999. Well, there had to be something in that team room the night before, some motivation. And Captain Inkster got it into everybody's heads. Am I wrong?
It was actually Sunday morning when we came back, and everything that transpired with Suzanne, I think that kind of fired us up more than anything else. And we kind of rallied around each other. It kind of felt like sometimes it feels like you're kind of being pushed around over there, and it feels like, a lot of times we go to Europe, it feels like they can kind of do whatever they want to do, and we kind of felt like that, and so we did come out kind of swinging and fighting, and you're right, there has to be a level of grit when you go to Europe, and I've been watching that from our players. I tell people, I've been following their scores, some of these women since 2020, and my day that I look the closest is Friday. I want to know who's grinding it out to make a cut, who's maybe had a bad week, but still shoots under par the last day. Like, if they're not going to make the cut, are they still shooting under par on a Friday? Like, there's something about that inner desire to want to dig down deep and still try to be really good at your craft. That's kind of what I'm looking, because that's what you need over there, because it's going to be loud. People are going to be cheering against you. What can you do to dig and block out the noise and do what you need to do to be successful? And that's what we have to have over there.
I want to go back to your career for just a moment, toggle back over there, and then we're going to come back to something I know that's very near and dear and passionate to your heart. We'll get to that in just a moment. But during your career, who did you love to play with? One of the listeners asked me that.
I always love to play with the old ladies. I love playing with Inkster, Laura
The
Davies.
old ladies.
Yes,
Julie was just on my television show last year. She's a piece of work. She's something
he
else.
is.
And Betsy King was just on with us here on the show.
But hey, sorry, side note, Betsy was one of my favorite captains. And I talked to Betsy one day for about an hour about what it meant to be a captain overseas. And I thought she did a great job in 2007. She was one of my favorite captains. And at that point, when Betsy won in 2007, we hadn't won since 1996. So that I really love Betsy King as a
Another
person.
late bloomer too.
Yeah.
Who did you fear? Who did you fear the most?
When I played against them,
When you were on the LPGA tour and you were in your prime, did you fear anybody? Did anybody intimidate you when you were paired with them or you were on the leaderboard there within the three or four? Were they in your head?
Kari Webb still scares me to this day.
I've interviewed her many times. She's a very, very, very interesting interview. Really like Kari.
I love Webby to death. Like, I'm so glad that I've gotten to know her as a friend, but man, you get on the golf course with her. I mean, she's intimidating. She's probably the one that I was the most intimidated by, but I think the one that I was scared of was Lorena.
Oh my
Because
goodness, yeah.
Lorena could just beat you. Like, she's not going to wait for you to make a mistake. Lorena could throw down anywhere 5 to 8 birdies in a round of golf, and she's left you in the dust. So Lorena was the only one that I thought, man, if she gets hot, we're all in trouble.
Been on my television show twice. You can go to Match Play TV, folks, on my YouTube channel, and you can view the Lorena Ochoa television episode. She is something else, and
He's awesome.
loved interviewing her and watching her play. All right, I want to talk a little bit about something. They're asking me about your personal life, and I
Okay.
don't know if you're a bit quiet. You're reserved about that, I know, but we'll get to that in a minute. One of your great passions, and my wife is a breast cancer survivor, was about your mother. And you spend time and effort on that foundation. Tell us about that.
So my mom was diagnosed in 2009 with breast cancer. My mom passed away in 2022, and I always kind of wanted to do something with kids. And at the time, I didn't know it was going to be cancer related, but we started to realize watching my mom go through this, I say cancer is like a ripple effect. I mean, the rock in the pool is cancer and the person that has cancer, but then these ripples affect everybody else in the family, in their life. So you start looking at these kids that are in high school and they want to go to college, but they may be middle class and they don't have the money anymore because all that money is going towards the medical bills. So we decided to start a foundation and give kids money for scholarships who have cancer or family members with cancer and they want to continue their education. We now have a scholarship named for my mother, and this scholarship is given to a kid who has lost a parent. So, I was 44 when I lost my mom, and I didn't know how to function for about 2 years. So I can't imagine these kids that are going to college and they only have one parent. And so we're trying to ease that financial burden, but also surround them with a community of kids that are going through the same thing. We just actually last week had our scholarship dinner where we invite our recipients to dinner and they get to meet each other. And I've had a couple of them meet up at their different schools, and it's just a way to let them know that there are others out there that are kind of walking the same path. And that's what matters the most. That there's somebody out there that's going through what you're going through and you can lean on them.
How much do you love playing in the Legends Tour?
I love it. Look, competing, when you compete at the highest level, that never goes away. That urge to want to compete. So it's given me a place to get to play a handful of times and get back out and practice and prepare. And I hope it grows, and I hope people see the value in it because I think it's pretty cool.
They want to know, what will you do to calm you down? Something other than golf and all the stats and the this and the that and the running of the Solheim Cup. What will you do to calm you down, balance out your nerves and temperament? A little bit more about Angela Stanford and your personal off the course. What do you love to do? What helps you? What's fun?
Well, I love any and every sporting event. I love going to TCU games. Big Ranger fan. I like snow skiing in the winter. I mean, and really, when we travel as much as we do, it sounds kind of crazy, but I just like the everyday things at home. Because I don't get to do those things on the road, and so I think just being home and being around family and friends. I mean, that's really kind of it. But I will say, week of Solheim, and when we get kind of in the heat of the battle, my faith is going to be pretty important because I've already, I want to win really bad. I always want to win, but I've spent since January 2025 preparing for 3 days. I mean, I've poured my heart and soul into this event, and I've had to ask myself, if this doesn't go our way, can I handle that? And that's a lot of my faith comes into play there. And
Will you
that,
tell us more about your faith a little bit more?
yeah, I've always said my faith and my golf have been intertwined like a rope. You can't let one thing define you except God. And, I think playing an individual sport and having numbers by your name all the time, it's easy for people to put you in a box, and it's easy for people to label you as good or bad, or you're good at your job, you're bad at your job. And I realized early on that there had to be something bigger. There had to be something bigger than just the number I was shooting. And, I know deep down that whatever happens, the night we get to the night of September 13th, whatever that result is, I know God is in control. And I know as long as I pour my heart into these 12 players and my assistants, and they know I care about them, I know we'll be okay, but I have to believe that there's something greater going on, I'm not going to enjoy this experience.
Well, we know over the years, and many have been on both this radio show and my television show, some great women of faith from the LPGA Tour over the years. And we could name them. It would take over an hour. We won't do it, but I know that you've probably shared with them, talked with them. They've given you some coaching and mentoring, the older ones. And I'm sure you have some that are out there with you at your age level, or even some of the young ones right now. And then, of course, you've got a fellow Texan and a guy by the name of Scottie Scheffler that's very outspoken about his faith. I'm sure you've talked to Scottie over time. Bob, let me go back to you for Angela Stanford.
Well, with that segue of divine help, I also think the players also look towards the help of their captain. And there's been so much written, Angelo, about the value of a captain or the lack of attention that the captain should get rather than the players themselves. But when it comes right down to it, the layman is looking at the pairings. Those are important every day for a captain. And obviously, as an assistant, while you were in three Solheim Cups as assistant, you probably had an input a little bit into the pairings. Could you explain a little bit about what the value of pairings and the importance it puts on your shoulders?
Well, like you said, I mean, that's what everybody's looking at. So I'm going to lean on the assistants because when we go out and play our practice rounds, like I said earlier, eyeballs, what do we see? And that was a thing that I did for Stacy. I wish I could have done better for Pat is that when I'm watching a group and watching players, what do they look like? What's their body language? Are they hitting it both ways? Are they down? So I think that's important. I got a pretty good gut feeling just from being around these players who goes well together. And look, there's always dialogue. I'm trying my best to be a player's captain. Like I want them to be just as involved. I mean, it's not about me. So it's their team. I'm very open to what they think and how they feel, but I have a pretty good gut feeling of where we need to go. And then they can either, confirm that or help me get to a different place. But the assistants are important too, and what they see, but I understand when it comes right down to it, it's up to me and those pairings and you take the heat or you take the applause. And speaking of Betsy King, we got on the phone and I said, Betsy, just tell me, just start talking. And she basically said, look, when you win, you get too much credit. And when you lose, you're going to get way too much blame. She's like, so, just remember that. I'm like, okay, that's a good start.
Well, either way, it's a divine appointment for you to become captain now. It sounds like, and we're excited that you are the captain. Can't think of anybody else that should be. You've earned it over and over again. And here you are. And we're about a month out, a little over. Bob, I'm going to give you the final question with Angela Stanford.
Well, I can only see Angela at the team room the night before the final singles, and I'm saying she's bringing back some good karma from 2015, the last time the U.S. won were there. And I'm saying, Angela, I think you can garner that, bring it together, and say, we can do it again.
Yeah, I think this is part of the responsibility as a captain. Part of me already knows kind of what I'm going to say that night, but it started in March. We had our first team kind of gathering and function in March this year, and we had an idea, a motto, kind of what we're doing this year. Kind of, just there's more to it than just go out and get them tomorrow. It's we're tying all this together, and that night I'm going to make it really clear why I chose I guess the motto that we've gone with. And it doesn't just start week of Solheim Cup. And I think that's hopefully when we get to the end of this, and we're successful. I think being a captain is not about that week. Being a captain is about the 51 other weeks. It, so I've been trying to do my job properly so that when we get to Friday morning, all they have to do is play golf and not have a worry in the world. So that Thursday night will be fun. We will also have the past captains in the room. So that night's always cool because, they get to talk and the players get to hear from the past captain. So the inspiration will be high Thursday night.
All right. Folks, this is Angela Stanford you've been listening to. She's our Solheim Cup captain this year, coming up next month, and a standout player on the LPGA Tour for a number of years. What a great career, and what a very, very, very lovely lady from Texas. She's a Texan. Thank you, Angela, so much for joining us here on Great American Golf. I know the listeners have loved it, and we're going to be having more. And maybe I could beg you, after the Solheim Cup is over, no matter what happens, would you agree to come back on and kind of give us a little wrap-up recap, maybe after you recover a month or so later?
Yeah, I would love to. I absolutely would love to. Thank you.
Great. Wonderful. All right. There she is.
Go Angela's. Get him, Captain.
That's
Thank
right.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're right there with you all the way. All right. There she is, Angela Stanford. What an unbelievable time we've had with not only Dr. Bob Denny and you, not only Alan Solheim from the Ping Company, and Angela Stanford, our captain, LPGA Tour player, one of my great women in golf, the captain of the Solheim Cup next month. And we're going to be just excited for this show. Can't wait to put it all together. Bob, I want to give you the final word on what's happening in golf, or whatever you want to say to the folks about the show today.
Well, I really want to stay with the theme of the Solheim Cup, because the women's deserve that attention. And I really believe that Angela Stanford is, as tough as it is to win on the road as a captain, that the last five matches have been 2-2-1 between the two teams, Europe and the United States. So it could be a great battle. And this golf course is a couple hours north of Antwerp. And in the Netherlands, it's never had a women's major there before. Like Alan said on this segment, there will be a junior Solheim Cup and the same golf course as the women are playing. So it's going to be very focused. And I think it's going to be a great week for golf in September. I'm just happy that we could get Angela the Breaker schedule. She's playing in Kentucky today in the Legends Tour event at the Woodford Club. So, it's going to be a wonderful setup, and I believe that she has the grit, as I said earlier, to be able to handle this. She knows her players well, and it could be a real amazing Solheim Cup.
It is going to be an amazing one. We're going to have a lot of fun, because we have a Solheim Cup. We have a President's Cup. We have a fall finish with loads of golf tournaments. But we're getting ready to get into the playoffs, and we've got the playoffs with the Champions Tour. We're going to end up over at Phoenix. Well, not Phoenix Country Club, but we're going to be here in Phoenix for the Schwab Cup Championship. I'll be there. So many things going on, and we have so many great guests coming up. Folks, make sure that you hydrate. Make sure you're drinking the right fluids when you're out on the golf course. Doesn't matter where you are in the country. Make sure you're using the right sunscreen. How do you find out what the right sunscreen is? Well, I don't know that some bottle that you buy at some store somewhere. I think you need to go to your dermatologist. Make an appointment and go see your dermatologist. I did it, and I found out things that I was shocked to find out. All good. Everything fine. Was at my dermatologist today. He's going to be joining us on the show to talk about sunscreen, to talk about your skin, to talk about skin cancer. And we're going to talk about prevention. We're going to talk about cures. And we're going to talk about the things that need to be done. Go make an appointment and see your dermatologist wherever you are, whether you think you need to do it or not. And hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. And then you'll find out the right sunscreen to use when you see your dermatologist. I want to thank Back 9 in Anthem, Arizona. Back 9 is in the Safeway Shopping Center over on the side along Anthem Way, next to PostNet, another one of my Anthem-only segment sponsors. PostNet, Lanny and John, Lanny is the purveyor and owner of PostNet, and I'm welcoming him back to the show. There'll be a lot more about Anthem-only segments, where I talk about keeping your dollars local. Doesn't matter if you live in Anthem, where this show comes from. It doesn't matter if you live in Chicago or Seattle or Miami or up in New York area. It doesn't matter where you are. It matters that let's draw a 3-mile or 4-mile circle around your house, and let's try to keep our dollars local for economy tax-based, charitable organizations, churches, what have you, and of course, all the great businesses. That's Anthem Only. We're going to do that on Monday, and we're going to have a lot more to come with those Anthem Only sponsors. I also want to thank one of my favorite PGA products of the year from the PGA Merchandise Show, and that is the waterweaselretriever.com. Waterweaselretriever.com. And Larry Walshaw and the whole team, they just fetch balls better. You put that water retriever in the lake where your ball went in, and when those wheels turn, it's a revolutionary head design. They bring out not your ball, but two or three or four other balls as well. So you want to go to waterweaselretriever.com, and you're going to find one of the great PGA products of the year. And I thank you so much for listening today. And again, folks, I'm going to repeat myself. Go to the dermatologist, hydrate, and find the right sunscreen, the right one to put on. All right, we're going to be back in just another few days. We've got Monday Golf Lifestyle Show coming on day after tomorrow. We're going to do all the wrap-ups of everything. We're going to get into the Tour Championship. We're going to get into the playoffs everywhere. We'll try to break down how we figure out these dollars and bonuses and the 70 players and all this other, all on Monday on the Golf Lifestyle Show. Back with you then. Enjoy your weekend.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.